With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
I'll begin reading in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went up to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, watching over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up in her heart and pondered them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Praise the Lord. This is what the Christmas season is about, the Messiah coming. And this morning we want to talk to you about what the Messiah, what the name means, and what that office of the Messiah is. Would you turn to the book of Acts with me? Praise the Lord. This may not be a typical Christmas message, but nobody said we were typical. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to go to Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a very specific scripture, and we'll begin in verse 22. Praise the Lord. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man, everybody say man, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 29. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently, the patriarchs and David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. And literally that could be translated to both Lord and Christ. When go to Acts 10, chapter 10, will you? Now something's going to, we're going to draw a line here for you very clearly in the scripture. Something happened on the day of Pentecost that caused Jesus to become the Christ. Come on. We know in history, or we should say before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the Christ. Turn to John chapter 1 and we're going to do that really quick. He's going to pull on the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
Everybody say Word.
Word.
He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. Everybody say life.
Life.
That word is Zoe, the very life of God, eternal, without beginning, without end, self-existing. In Him was life, and this life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What's the light? Part of it is the Word of God, the Logos, the Word of God. Part of it is Christ, the Messiah. Then let's go to verse 14. The Word became flesh. The light became flesh. The Word became flesh. Everybody say Word. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace. Go to John chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Stick with us now. Verse 31. When Judas had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will glorify the Son in Himself and will glorify Him at once. That's pretty good, isn't it? My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for Me just as I have told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now go to John chapter 17. You guys still with me? Praise the Lord. John chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 22. Now let's go to 20. My prayer is not only for them alone, speaking of the apostles, the 11. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that's you and me, that all of them may be one, Father. This is good. Just as You are in Me and I am in You. Just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they, that's us, be in us so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. So it's not, the world's going to believe when they see Him in you right here, right now. Not when you die. Come on. Yeah. Father, I want those, here, let's just go back to 23. I and them and You and Me so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. God's putting something together here. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. Do you not know? Boy, I want to go higher than that, though, Lord. All right. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. That's really not what we're going for. We're going for verse 17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Say, one. With Him. In spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I didn't know it was Bible study day. But that's all right. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ. Everybody say Christ. And seated, that's not the Messiah, that's the anointing. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's the Messiah. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed to us in His kindness in Christ Jesus. Do we go to Acts chapter 10 yet? Acts chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 38. Praise the Lord for the Word. Amen. You know, if you have the Word in you, you know how God thinks. He's revealed His thoughts to us in the Word. You know, He considers you one with Him. He considers you united with Him. He considers you seated with Him in heavenly realms. So yes, physically you're seated here at the cathedral, but God considers you seated in heavenly realms. That's how He thinks. So that's how we're to think of ourselves. Yes, we're seated here in the earth. Yes, we have flesh on that hasn't been consumed with immortality yet. But we have mortality in our body. Let's go to Acts 10, 38, and then I'll go to Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Acts 10, verse 38. You know what happened throughout, verse 37 says, you know what happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went about healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. Now Jesus was, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Praise the Lord. We just read Luke chapter 2, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this was. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Verse 34, Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was before the foundation of the world. Jesus was before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, where it speaks of God spoke in the beginning, that He looked and the world was without form, the name for God is Elohim, and it's plural, as in Godhead. Could be two, could be three. And God said, you know, it's amazing. I was reading in Genesis this morning in the Tower of Babel. I think it's Genesis chapter 11. And God says, "Let us go down and see this city that they are building." Who's us? Who's He talking to? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But yet they're one. Completely one. In the river when Jesus was baptized, John saw Jesus. And he said that he wasn't worthy to baptize him. He wasn't even worthy to untie his shoes. Do you remember that? And he said, "You should be baptizing me." He said, "No, I must be baptized like this." Because Jesus was the Son of Man and the Son of God. He had to be baptized under the law. He had to be baptized as a Son of Man for the repentance of sins. He had to, even though he was without sin. That was the man side of him. The God side of him, he was baptized when he came up out of the water. And the dove descended on him, like the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and it remained on him. And the Word of God says, angels ascended and descended upon him. That's the Son of God part. He was 100% the Son of God, 100% the Son of Man. He was 100% born of the Spirit, and he was 100% flesh. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
There's a reason that he was. And I think it would be good for us this Christmas season to understand that. In the genealogies in Luke and in Matthew, it talks about the son of, son of, son of, son of. Seth, the son of Adam. Adam, the son of God. Adam created sons of men, he and Eve. Amen? God gave authority on this earth to the sons of men. In Hebrews it says, what is the Son of Man that you're mindful of Him? What's so special about Him, the angels say, that you're mindful of the sons of men? Because God shared His authority with the Son of Man. the Son of God, Adam. And Adam left. He lost that authority. Jesus is 100% the Son of Man, 100% the Son of God. How can you be that way? I don't know, but you are too. Come on. You need that sonship on the earth of being a Son of Man. Without it, you'd have no authority on the earth. But you're also the Son of God. To all that believed in Him, He gave the right to become what? The sons of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It used to bother me that people would say, you know, that we are the children of Abraham. You know, but in faith, we are Abraham's seed. But we're not Abraham's seed as in our bloodline changes and our heritage changes and that we become, you know, we get curly hair and we look for the best deals on everything. That's a joke. Come on. We don't become Jewish in that way. I don't know if you know this, but Abraham wasn't a Jew. Come on. He wasn't Israel. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob became Israel. So see, when we become the seed of Abraham, God blessed Adam. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he gave authority over all of the earth to Adam. Now, that's shared authority underneath the Godhead of Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Come on. And when Adam sinned, he bowed his knee to Satan, because the Bible says you become a servant of the one that you serve. He becomes your master. And when you become a servant or a slave to somebody, everything that you have and everything that you ever will have belongs to them. Now, we may not like that term slave, but you know, there have been slaves, and the Jews were slaves. Come on. There was just a case I read the other day in England where they found three ladies who were bound for 30-some years in servitude and slavery. Today, modern England, 30 years. Trapped inside of a place. Everything that they had, including their kids, belonged to the one that they called master, that they were serving. Now, Jesus is our master, but He's a good master.
That's right.
Everything that He has then belongs to us. That's the difference between twisted slavery, twisted servitude, twisted. Do you understand? Because when it's twisted, everything that you have belongs to the master. But when it's set right the way God does, everything the master has belongs to you. So you're proud to be part of that household. You're proud to be part of that lineage. You're proud to call Him Lord, which means master. Praise the Lord. Jesus was born in the way, or the method that He was born, for several reasons. One, He had to be born the Son of God. He had to be born of faith, because somebody had to step in and take the Son of Man part and tie us into what Adam had lost. Jesus is called in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Romans, what? The third Adam, the second Adam. And He brought and gave us this eternal life, the Spirit of God that anointed Jesus. Jesus was 100% the Son of God, yet no miracles are recorded until He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Until the Holy Spirit came upon Him and stayed upon Him. And then angels ascended and descended. Then Jesus said, in the same manner you're to go. Go to, yes, Matthew chapter 28. You guys with me? We're going to have a wonderful program today, but guys, Christmas is not about a baby, you know, laying in a manger. Christmas is about the glory that God gave Jesus before the foundation of the world, and that was returned to Him when He was betrayed. And now it's bestowed upon you and me as the body of Christ. And when we do the works that Jesus does, I didn't say did, but Jesus does, then we bring glory to the Father. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that it should be obvious. So I was reading one translation this morning talking about us, our lives being a display window for God. that it should be obvious that God is amongst us. There should be a definite discernment that you are a people of God. And if you understand that you're not a normal person anymore, that you've been born of the Spirit, if you receive Jesus as your Lord, then you're not going to be at the normal level. You're to be exceedingly above the normal. And that we access that by faith. In every area of our lives, we should be above the normal. Praise the Lord. So that people can see God in our lives. Actually, it was in Galatians chapter 3, and we'll come back to Matthew chapter 28. I want you to see that. Galatians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Talking about the children of Abraham. Verse 6, so Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Praise the Lord. So that all nations will be blessed. Now that literally can be translated into so that all nations will see that you are blessed. Which goes back to Ephesians chapter 2, the display window. Is what I want you to see this morning, I believe what the Holy Ghost wants you to see this morning, is you're not waiting for the favor of God to come in your life. It already is. Well, how can you say that? Because you don't pray in favor. We just talked about it last week. God's favor goes before you. See, God can't be separated. The Bible says that in you the fullness of the Godhead lives. The fullness of the Godhead lives. Jesus and the Holy Spirit abide within you. The Father makes His home within you. But the Father always goes first. And so favor always goes with you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not a supernatural anointing that comes upon you. It's within you. And so wherever you go, the favor goes. You remember when Jesus was preaching and, you know, He was being crowded on the edge of the shore. And He says to Peter, He didn't know Him that well yet. I mean, He knew who He was. But He said, let me borrow your boat. And Peter pushed out in the boat with Him so that He could speak to the people on the shore, in a sense giving Him a platform. So he took what he had and gave it to the Lord for the purpose of the gospel. And what happened? Jesus said, all right, now you throw your net over on this side and you're going to catch some fish. Peter said, oh, come on, Lord. We've been fishing all day, all night. There's nothing out here. But see, when Jesus was in His boat, because Jesus had the Holy Ghost without limit, without a measure, it was a constant flow through Him. What was happening? The fish were being attracted to. Life was being attracted to. I have a friend that goes down to Texas, and they go out into the Gulf of Mexico, or the Gulf down there, and they'll take a light and they'll shine the light. They do the same thing in the islands in the Caribbean, and they hang up a light, and the fish are attracted to the light, and then they gig them, they spear them, and they just keep collecting them that way. The fish come to them; they don't have to go after the fish. And Jesus is the light of the world. And when He stood in Peter's boat, what happened? The fish were attracted to Jesus. To the light, to the Holy Ghost, to the Word, to the presence of God. They were attracted. The fish weren't there. Peter knew they weren't there. Something supernatural happened when Jesus got in the boat, that the fish came to Peter. Fish came to where Jesus was. So when I say you don't have to believe God for favor, you have to have faith in it. See, the favor is already there, and it's going before you. And everything that you have need of is being attracted to Jesus within you, to the Holy Ghost within you, just like it was when Jesus got in Peter's boat.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, if you think you've got a weak, generic, watered down version of the Holy Spirit, now that might not be true for you. If you think that somehow your sin was so bad that you've disqualified yourself, that Jesus can't, if Jesus gets in your boat, your sin is so bad that the light won't shine through you. Well, yeah, you see. But if Jesus is in your boat, I mean, all the fishermen on the side of the seashore, you know, probably dropped their jaw because they were all fishing too and didn't get anything. And suddenly in the middle of the day when you don't fish, there are fish everywhere where there's not supposed to be. Suddenly they understood that Peter's boat was blessed. So much so that Peter and two of his partners dropped everything and they weren't concerned about fish anymore. Come on. And they followed Jesus. I'm going to say something that, you know, when you understand who you are, money doesn't mean anything to you. Need goes away. Peter and Andrew left their boats. They left their nets. They left their livelihood because they understood who Jesus was. They had to wait for His resurrection to become sons of God, to have that light within them. Praise the Lord. You know, in the book of Luke in chapter 2, it talks about two people who saw Jesus and said, now that I have seen the Messiah, now that I have seen the Christ, I can be dismissed, as when He came to the temple when He was a year old. They waited their whole lives, the Bible says. One of them is a prophetess named Anna. They waited their whole lives waiting to see Jesus. And they just need to see one glimpse. When people see you, they should see Jesus in you. Come on. But how are you going to get there when you think that, how will you get to a place that is above the norm when you can't see who really is in you? See, Jesus said it this way, the works that I do, I don't do of myself. It's the Father living in me doing the works. And then He said, if you believed in Him, you would do even greater works. Guys, if you're going to be a Christian, then you should be something above the norm. If we're going to be limited to the same principles and the same laws and the same techniques to get healed, to become prosperous, to have favor with officials, to get anything done in this earth, if we've got to swing the same hammer with the same amount of strength to pound a nail, come on, there is an anointing for the craftsman. I finally saw Pastor Josh step into the anointing for the first time. I'm serious. In doing the construction stuff, he's on the flooring, man. He stepped into the anointing where it's not just him. There's something else on it. There has to be a difference between you and the rest of the world. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians, so that we can tell on whom God's favor rests. And you may not be able to receive this. Millionaire status shouldn't mean a thing to you because it already belongs to you. To become a plutocrat, to become somebody who's so wealthy they begin to influence the city and the state governments, that belongs to you because you're in Christ. Come on. God's going to give you witty ideas. They're already there. Inventions. Things that you can patent. George Washington Carver, one of the greatest men in the last century, he'd go inside of a room and he would pray. And he'd say, God, reveal to me. And God revealed to him thousands upon thousands of ideas and concepts. Some 700 ways to use the peanut. Inventions that hadn't come. And he'd say, God would just pull the cover back. And I would begin to see. George Washington Carver went to Simpson and he went to Iowa State. Praise the Lord. Iowa. Come on. Mm-hmm. Amen. Then he went to Tuscany, Alabama. Now, God could do that at the turn of the century. He was just a poor guy when he came out of the fields and went to work, went to college, worked his way through college, and God revealed things to him that we're still using today. He'll do it for you. The Bible says that God does not show favoritism. Come on. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Right? What does it say? Jesus Christ is the same when? So can you see Jesus being able to heal the sick? Can you see Jesus not being worried about having to pay taxes? Come on. Can you see Jesus not worrying about having to feed 5,000 people? See, he had to take something natural, didn't he? Because God put laws in place here, seed, time, and harvest. He put laws in place that we are still governed by. But Jesus knows how to use those laws to benefit the kingdom of God. He took something very natural and he turned it into a meal for thousands with leftovers. So is Jesus nervous about what we're going to eat tomorrow? Is Jesus nervous about the new diseases and sicknesses that are coming up? Because they're coming up all the time. Men all over the world are trying to invent better ones so they can sell you better prescriptions. Come on. Some are developing just to kill a whole nation. But they're out there. What do you think Jesus is worried about that? Where is he seated? Where is Jesus seated? On the throne of God. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 17. 18. Then Jesus came to them. This is after the resurrection. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. He didn't say all authority in heaven. God had that. But the authority that God had given to Adam was misplaced. 4,000 years, it was misplaced. 4,000 years, that partial authority rested in the devil. 4,000 years, the devil walked around masquerading as an angel of life with anointing that wasn't his, with a mantle that belonged to Adam. And Jesus took that back. He stripped the devil, made a show of him openly by the cross. Amen. Come on. He threw off those that were upon him, and he took the keys of death and Hades. Come. All authority on earth was given to him. Satan relinquished it. Satan surrendered it. And when he was raised, you were raised with him. Come on. By faith, you were the son of Adam. But by faith, you become the son of Abraham, whom the blessing rests upon. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is recreated and you become a son of God. You need that blessing upon you so that you could do things upon this earth by your will. Come on. By your profession. By your faith. And your authority just doesn't rest on this earth. Your authority is seated in heavenly realms. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. He doesn't sweat about anything anymore. And when you realize that you're in him and he is in you, Jesus is in your boat drawing all good things unto you. The Bible says everything that you need for, somebody help me out, life and belong to you and are yours in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, let's go there and I want you to see scripture. This is what God wants to reveal to you. And if we could ever get the church there, and we will, we're going to shake this nation. Praise the Lord. I haven't seen one nation shaker in the old covenant that did this thing without authority, power, and wealth. I'm not talking about wealth for themselves. I'm talking about being a blessing to other people. You can't give what you do not have. All you can give is a promissory note and then you go in debt. You can't give what you do not have. You have to possess something to be able to give it. Yeah. Come on. Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yeah.
How can you give bread to your neighbor when your kids are hungry? How can you be generous when you don't have enough? You truly can't. Because you do have responsibilities to your family. You do have responsibilities to the church. You do have responsibilities to the government. You have to have so that you can give. And God knows that. But if you're only if you're limited to what you can do, or you're the level of your intellect, or you're the pay grade at your job, then what makes you any different than the rest of the boats on the shore with dry, broken nets? We can't be limited to. Do you guys know what this? The Bible talks about the Babylonian system or the Babylonian government. The Word of God talks about the ways of men. There's a way that seems right unto men, but in the end it leads to what? Death. God's ways are different. God's ways are higher. God's ways take us to a better place than we could ever get on our own. But we can't get above the level that we think. We can't get above the level that we perceive of ourselves. We can't get above the level of our confession, the abundance of our heart. We'll never rise above that. So in Ephesians chapter 1, praise the Lord, verse 17, and we'll begin in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is not in your head, this is your inner man. In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. He hasn't called you to just let's get a by, just get along and just have enough. What do they call that, hand and mouth? God hasn't called you to live from hand to mouth. As soon as you get in your hand, it goes to your mouth. God has not called you just to survive. He's called you to be more than a conqueror. He's called you to be victorious sometimes, all times. He's going to lead you from glory to hole in the ground. He's going to lead you from glory to debt. He's going to lead you from success to failure. He's going to lead you from glory to what? From one step to another, greater and greater. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. I can't believe we still have to convince the church of that. So God wants you to begin to know Him better so the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to you know the hope that He's called you. The riches of His glorious inheritance where? 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 In His people. Oh, Lord, I just want to be rich. You already are. Everything, listen, everything that you'll ever have need of will be drawn by the Holy Ghost. For some reason, it's even in our DNA. We're drawn to our Creator. Boys and girls are drawn to their father. We're drawn to, you know, if somebody were to take you and train you and disciple you, whether it be in a trade or whether it be in the ministry, you'd be drawn to the one who helped to mold and shape you. It's in us. Everything has been created by the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ within you. In His riches and His glorious inheritance in His people, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. Verse 6 of chapter 2, and God raised us up with Christ. God raised us up with the anointing. God seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah, in order that the coming ages He might show His incomparable riches of His grace and His kingdom and His kindness in Christ Jesus. Now, we want to go back to one scripture here, and it's in Acts chapter 2. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
We're learning something this morning. See, if you receive knowledge, not memorized words, but if you receive a knowledge and revelation and you experience, nobody could ever take it away from you. Nobody can ever take it away from you. Verse 36, thank you. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made. Everybody say, God has made. This Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Lord speaks of His being master over all authority in heaven and earth. Messiah speaks of something very differently. It speaks of the office He now holds where He pours out the Holy Spirit. He has received the Holy Spirit and has poured out, and that's the purpose or that's the reason for what you now see and hear. He has received from the Father, verse 33, the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Go to Galatians chapter 3. God's helping somebody this morning. Galatians chapter 3. If you're lost, that's the Holy Ghost to get you there. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to who?
Abraham.
You want to be Abraham's seed? Yes. That's the anointing on earth. That's the blessing given to Abraham. Might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of what? The Spirit. The blessing given to Abraham is the Spirit descended upon him and stayed upon him. And everywhere he went, the thing, people who blessed him were blessed. People who cursed him were cursed. And everything he had multiplied. You need that blessing upon your life. And you already have it, but you have to receive it by faith. So you are a son of man, the seed of Abraham, and you are the son of God, children of the Most High. The Son of God has authority in the heavens. The Son of Man displays the anointing or the blessing of God in this realm, in this earth. Without it, you're just a prophet wearing a goatskin coat and eating locusts waiting for the kingdom to come. With it, you are a king and a priest in Christ Jesus. Now listen, it's not the amount of money that's in your checkbook. That's not what we're talking about. That is the smallest denominator in this thing. Don't you know that power and authority, with it come provision? With favor comes provision? See, when you understand who you are, you'll no longer have a need. You only need what you don't have. And the only thing between you and what God has already provided for you is faith. And faith removes time. Come on. If you understand who you are, you'll never be in need again. And my God shall supply all of your needs out of His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all of my needs are met. And I have the blessing that was given to Abraham. I have what Jesus was anointed with. The Holy Ghost and power. And because of that, all things that I have need of are drawn to me. They're not repelled by you. Come on. You're not two sissy uglies that got hit with an ugly stick. Repelling all men. I mean, if you come in looking like a before picture. The anointing of God will draw that man that you have need of. Come on, that's where some of us are living. How do you think Paul got his wife? It certainly wasn't his good looks. It was the anointing of God in him, huh? Praise the Lord. How do you think I got Pastor Nija? It wasn't my good looks. It was the anointing of God in me. The anointing of God. Do you have need of a husband? God will draw what you have need of. Come on. Do you have need of a counselor? God will draw a counselor to you. Do you have need for an attorney? God will draw whatever it is that you have need of. God will draw that to you because the greater one lives in you. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and that God's Spirit dwells in you? It doesn't matter who comes against you. How many times they try to put you down? How many times they try to keep you down? How many times they try to keep you from getting promoted? It doesn't matter because the Holy One lives in you. And all you've got to do is focus on that. Greater works will you do because the Father now lives in you. You know, I have met people that seem like they just have this self-sabotaging deal that when it gets going too good, they disqualify themselves. Whether it be in relationships, whether it be in jobs, it's going too good. I got to mess it up. What is that a picture of? Unworthiness. What is that a picture of? Not being holy, not being righteous. What is that a picture of? A fallen man. That's a picture of your fallen nature. You know, one author says we have to become more righteous conscious than sin conscious. I'd say you have to become more conscious of you being a son of God than you being a son of man. But now Abraham was full of weakness. Come on, I'm helping somebody. He was full of weakness. He was led by his wife. Oh my goodness. He was led by... There's some teaching there. We're not going there this morning. He was led by his wife in some occasions. Come on. But he was a man of faith. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But did God show forth his glory in his life? Yes. So you need to see the Son of Man part, but focus on the Son of God part. You're not going to become a Son of God when you get rid of your flesh. Listen, I got to tell you something. Everybody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm not going to be offended.
Because
I'm going to give you the opportunity to be offended. I'm telling you, you're going to say, "Don't." I'm not going to be offended. I say, I'm not going to be offended.
I'm not going to be offended.
Now, if you can't handle that, close your ears. The glory of God will not be revealed to you when you die. Or the glory of God will not be revealed in you when you're in the throne room. It doesn't get better. Everything you need is in you right now. Everything, all the power that you need is in you right now. See, because glory is weightiness. It's evidence. The glory of God is already evident in the heaven because Jesus is seated there. Glory is seen on the earth through you. So you're not supposed to let His glory shine in you when you get up there because it's all about Him there. And down here, it's all about Him through you and in you. If you're waiting to get rid of your flesh so that the glory of God could be seen in you, I'm sorry, tain't going to happen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you guys with me this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Jesus came as a little baby, but He grew up. And grew in the favor, He grew in stature, and favor with men. Guys, it's time that we grow up as Christians. We got to grow up. We got to get weaned, guys.
Amen.
We got to start eating some full meat. We got to start eating adult food. We got to start acting like adults in Christ.
Yeah.
If you don't grow up spiritually, you're not going to affect anybody. All right, praise the Lord. Verse 7. Well, verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus Christ. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. Are we in the same line of what we've been talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Made His light shine in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of the anointing, or in Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the anointing of God in you, the Spirit of God in you, the hope of glory in you. Now, where is this light supposed to shine first? This little light of mine. No, it's not on the tip of your finger. It's in your heart. Because if you don't get it in your heart, it's never going to be displayed in the windows of your life. You've got to see it first. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're trying to get in you. You've got to see Jesus living in you. If you can't see Jesus living in you, then at least see Him in your boat. Amen? Jesus living in you. So when He begins to shine in your heart, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The light of God. In jars of clay, that's your human body, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. When I look at you, and I'm the world looking at you as a Christian, I need to see something different about you. That you're not limited to the laws of men. That you're not limited to the technology that we have in this world today. That you're not limited to the level of your mother and father, or your education, or the strength of your body, or the influence that you have, the people that you know. There are no limits for you, because in Christ Jesus, nothing is impossible. All things are possible for God's people.
That's right.
All things are possible for God's people. Nothing is, oh man, I've been getting revelation on the suddenlies lately. You know what a suddenly is? You hear the walls of the city were, and the prophet was inside, and it was all walled up, and it was so bad they were trading the skulls of goats and horses for great wealth, and they were talking about eating their own kids. They were so hungry, and the prophet says, in one day, tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up, and you're going to be so rich you won't know what to do with it. In one day. Take time out of the equation, and suddenly God's provision manifests. Their enemies were slaughtered by themselves, and they went out and they looted the camp. Listen, in one day, on the day of Pentecost, we had men begging God for His Spirit. And in one day, they stood up and God's Spirit was upon them and in them. When you see, when the light of God shines in your heart and begins to show you that you are a son of God, the seed of Abraham, that you have authority on this earth and in heaven, nothing will become impossible for you. Nothing will stop you. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We'll have the treasure because we'll be with the treasure when we're in the heavenlies. But we have this treasure right now in these weak vessels to show that something, you're going to be a display window, that something is different about you than other people. The world system is this. Praise the Lord for help that the government supplies. Praise the Lord for programs for single mothers so they can get a college education. And some of it even provide for daycare and things like that. Praise the Lord for that. But boy, if that's all we're limited to, we're in sad, sad, sad shape. We're never going to transform this city if it's just about what the government can do. If it's just about saving a buck here and saving a buck there. That's the job of the church anyway, not the government. The world system is this, guys. Is simply replacing God's anointing. So that men without the Spirit can be as good as men with the Spirit. It's twofold. You take down the Christ, take down the anointing, and don't let it be displayed in public. That's the world system. And then take the man without the Spirit and say he's got every right and can achieve and be successful just like the man with the Spirit. That's the world system. You're not limited to the world system, guys.
Amen.
The system can feed into your supply, but it better not be your only supply, because if it is, woe is you. Let's just talk about Social Security for a minute. Not a political hot button, but how many of you are counting on Social Security in your old age? Let me see your hands. How many people under 35 are counting on Social Security being there? Good. You're to have enough in your bank account when you die that you leave, and not only that you pay for your funeral, but you leave an inheritance for your children's children.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. And that ain't coming through Social Security and WICA and all those other programs. It ain't coming. The world system is to be a great equalizer. Yes, it gives people a step up, but it cannot be the only supply. Come on.
That's good.
Just like if you have a good job, praise the Lord, but that better not be your only supply. If it is, you'll never reach the level that God intends you to reach. You'll never reach the people that God intends you to reach. You'll never build the orphanages. You'll never take care of the missionaries overseas. You'll never print the books and Bibles that God wants you to print if you're just limited to your job, because that's limited to negotiating power or how many hours you can put in. Now, thank God we have jobs, because it gives seed to sow for increase, and it takes care of some of our needs. But it better not be your only source.
That's right.
We have this treasure in jars of clay. We have the Holy Ghost within us. The very promise that was given to Abraham is that that Spirit would be in you. Now, you got to understand what that Spirit does. It just doesn't give you goosebumps. The Holy Ghost doesn't give you just goosebumps. The Holy Ghost just doesn't make you feel good. The Holy Ghost is the very power and nature of God. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you guys with me this morning?
Yes.
Somebody needs this message desperately bad. They've been crying out for it for a long time. Verse 19. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. That's the place of authority that you have. Because you're in Christ, right? You're seated with Him in heavenly realms. So you're above all rule, all power, all authority in Christ. There isn't an authority, there isn't a power, there isn't a name that can keep you from doing what God has called you to do. The only person that can keep you from doing that is you. Because you say, you refuse to see it. Guys, it doesn't matter if you're a 6'5" Jew, if you're brown, if you're blue, if you're yellow, it does not matter. What matters is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that can keep you. Your education level, the amount in your checkbook, the debt that you may have amassed through being stupid, nothing can keep you from what God has destined you to become and for what God has called you to do in this earth. Not a thing. If Christ is in you, then you just keep praying that God shows you Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He begins to show you, reveal to you, what the Christ in you will draw to your boat. Every good and perfect gift. Everything that I have need of in life and godliness. More than enough to give to every good work. A supply that makes me generous in all occasions. Health in my body. Soundness of mind. Sleep at night. Deafness in my ears to spiritual voices that are not of God. Thick skin beyond comprehension. A spine that is straight and tall and not bent over and weak. Come on. All of those things belong to me because Jesus is in my boat. Actually, He bought my boat. Put His name on my boat. When my boat goes through the waters, people don't know if I'm driving or if Jesus is driving. Do you understand? I got Jesus on the inside, Jesus on the outside, Jesus all over me. Come on. He owns me. He marked me. You know, there's a name written on you that nobody knows but Him. But you're marked in Christ Jesus. You have His name embroidered on your robe. Praise the Lord. You have His armor. You have His word. You have His power. You have His seat of authority. Wow. So what could limit you? What could knock you off the pedestal? What could take you down? Can't nothing come up behind you if you're in the Holy Ghost, because the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. You don't have to worry about what's behind you. You don't have to worry about your peripheral vision because you got warring angels on the right and on the left. The glory of the Lord is going before you. So you're just following Him step by step from one glory to the next, from one victory to the next. Well, I haven't lived that yet. Well, get your heart enlightened by the Holy Ghost. Make this commitment that you're going to yield. You're going to be governed by the Word and by the Spirit. Because underneath that government, under the kingdom of God, you're victorious. You're an ambassador. You're an army. You are an army. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to Acts, the book of Acts. And we'll wrap this up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, but I just want to feel good, Pastor. You start thinking on these lines, you will feel good. You know, I've got to quit saying, start seeing the glass is half full, because your glass is full to overflowing. Praise the Lord. Peter replied in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, and all who will call upon the name of the Lord." Listen now. Put your spiritual ears on. Got them? Mm-hmm. Salvation isn't about having your sins forgiven. Can I say that again? Salvation is not about having your sins forgiven. Before Jesus died on the cross, he was in a meeting in a house, and it was packed and nobody can get in the doors, and all of a sudden rubble started falling down from the ceiling. Pretty soon there's a hole, and then this man gets let down, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were there, and they wanted to see if Jesus would break the law according to them and, listen, heal on the sick. Jesus' response was amazing. He didn't say, "I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, therefore I can do this on Sunday." He said, "The Son of Man is even Lord over the Sabbath." Pinch your skin and say, "Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath." And he said, "To prove it," he said, "I forgive your sins." And they got all mad at him. He says, "To prove it, I'm going to heal him now." Jesus forgave his sins as the Son of Man before he died on the cross. He told his disciples, "If you forgive somebody their sins, they're forgiven." Salvation is not about having your sins forgiven. Because you could go in the old covenant and make a sacrifice and have your sins put away. That's what the scapegoat was about. See, if you just got your sins forgiven, somebody just paid your fine, somebody did your time in prison, if that's all it was, guess what? Your nature isn't changed, and you're going to go out and you're going to sin again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Salvation is about two things: having your spirit made new so your nature changes, and then having full access to the authority and power that makes God God. The fullness of the Godhead lives in you. And Jesus was, listen, he didn't have that sinful nature in him. He never sinned, yet he had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. When did God do that? When he was baptized. You need that anointing, because the Son of God and the Son of Man both need that anointing. You're not being held back because you're a Son of Man. The only reason you have authority on the earth is because you're a Son of Man. Now you've got the blessing that was promised to Abraham, that the Spirit would abide in you, so that you could take that power and that ability, that favor, come on, that healing power, that miracle working power, and begin to conform the world around you according to the pattern that's set up in heaven. Amen. Oh, that sounds too good to be true. The gospel is too good to be true. But you're never going to live above what you dare to think. You're never going to live above what you dare to conform your life to, or allow your life to be governed by. If he said there's no difference, if I'm one with him in the Spirit, that's the way he thinks. There's no difference between me and him in the Spirit. You know what that means? When I walk, God walks. Now, I'm not saying I'm God, but I'm one with him. So I don't know how much of it is because it's just a flow. But when I'm walking, God's walking with me. When I walk into a room, God walks in a room with me. When you walk into a room, God walks in a room with you. Come on. You're not alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. He abides in you. And His power will be manifest in you. So when you walk, if you're just going, listen, I don't know why Jack Sparrow just popped in my mind. You know who Jack Sparrow is? Pirates of the Caribbean. You ever he's a funny little guy. You've seen him, and he's walking down the beach. He just got released from cannibals that were going to eat him, and he's walking down the beach, and he's all happy, and he's walking toward these guys, and then the guys start to chase him, and you see him running down, you know? If there was an army behind him, would he run? If there were warring angels on his right and on his left, would he run? Maybe you got a little vision on the inside of you that you're just Jack Sparrow, just scrapping along. I mean, you're the King of Kings in Him. In Him. Outside of Him, you ain't nothing. But in Him now, you're seated above all power, all rule, all might, and all dominion. So when the Holy Ghost or the Word of God prompts you to speak and to pray and to say, then do it, and you're doing it from that position, which everything that has been created by Him conforms to. That's good stuff, isn't it? And you get outside of that authority and you begin to speak and you begin to say, and you say, well, I want... And it's coming out of your head and not out of your heart, because you aren't going to access much of the kingdom of God. That's why I want my mind renewed by the Word, so I know how He thinks, so I can speak like He does. So I can govern my life according to the kingdom. Jesus said it this way, guys. He said, the kingdom is with you and soon will be in you, when He's speaking to His disciples. He is the kingdom. The mind of Christ is the kingdom. The way that God thinks is the kingdom. Praise the Lord. There isn't anything you can't do in Jesus. There isn't anything too big for you in Jesus Christ. Huh? There isn't anything. Matter of fact, everything He asks you to do is going to be bigger than you. Because it's going to have to require faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anything that He asks you to do, you probably cannot do on your own. And you got to step out in faith. So that the power that is in you, in your earthen vessel, in your clay jar, this power is, it's obvious it's not just you. But it's Him living in you, doing the work. Can you say amen? All right, let's pray, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word this morning. We thank You, thank You, thank You for the gift of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that He was born of the Spirit, conceived of the Spirit. Lord, that He was raised from death to life by Your Spirit. He was justified, quickened by Your Spirit, Lord. How He was anointed with Your Spirit. How He received the Holy Spirit to pour it out into our lives. Thank You, Father, that Your Spirit lives in us. Strengthen us by Your Spirit. We tackle the things that You've asked us to tackle by the power of Your Spirit. We thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you want Jesus to be part of your life, then I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, ask you to come up front, but I am going to pray with you. If that's you, just raise up your hand this morning. Is there anybody here? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then put your hand on your heart in an attitude of prayer. Let's confess this together. Lord, I love You. Jesus, You live in me. Your Spirit abides within me. Thank You, Lord, for the glory that's manifest in my life. Lord, You're with me everywhere I go. You back the words that I speak. You do the things that I do. Thank You that You're with me. Thank You, You're in my boat. I believe that you're drawing all good things to me by your Spirit. I believe that you are greater than anything that's in this world, and that you live in me. I believe that there are no impossibilities for me with you in me. I thank you, Jesus. I receive the Holy Spirit. I receive the power to live victoriously. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.